This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Apparently the Packers have interest in Will Fuller.
The Saints and the Seahawks interested
in JJ.
Listen, everybody should have interest in these guys. And the Texans should have interest in moving them. I hope it happens. I don't know that it will.
Yeah, well, we're trusting Jesus Easterby. So
that's the problem.
Yeah, and especially Will Fuller. If you can get anything for him, you do it. Because you're not going to re-sign him. And he's going to break again. That's what he does.
Yeah.
It's amazing that he's made it this far. Hell, JJ's probably going to break again.
Probably.
Bill O'Brien or Morey, who left the team in the worst condition?
To me, it's the Rockets. The Rockets are in worse condition because there's no, dead cap. You're just stuck with these guys. These are guaranteed contracts. These are guys that are getting paid no matter what. You can't cut somebody. You can, but you can't get any relief from cutting somebody. This is what you've got.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975 for this segment. At T McCarg 16 as well. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Miss the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. Well, a lot of great stuff. You missed some fantastic things, and it's all available on podcastarena.com, or will be shortly. And Taylor McCarg joins us for his college football segment that he does every Thursday with us at 6 o'clock. Taylor, what's going on, man? Shame on your Owls for killing a parlay for me last week.
God, I'm sorry. That was, I think I texted AJ right before the show, and I was like, take it easy on my Owls. I called that game, and it was hard to stay sort of down the fairway and not show bias at the end when there was a quadruple doink. But
how does that call go? Give me the call on that last kick. That I've never seen a ball hit the goalpost four times and then fall out.
I've never seen it either. And at the time, I called it the triple doink, and I said, sorry, Bears fans, but that's what you're gonna. That's exactly what it is. And then on the replay, I saw that it was actually a quadruple doink, so I missed it. But I've never seen anything like that.
Unreal. And there's got to be a thing like the goal line. If it breaks the plane of the pole, it should count. That's the way I look at it. What do you think? I mean, obviously, it feels like that's a game when you watch it that the Owls should have won. But what do you think the Owls have to work on? What did you take away from that, and how can they fix some things?
Yeah, it looked like a team that was playing their first game. I think if you took that Middle Tennessee team that got blown out by Army and play Rice heads up week one, I think Rice wins that game by a couple scores. Rice had some bad turnovers. They didn't convert early in the game. They had short fields and only had got a couple field goals out of it. And then at the end got really conservative in play calling and settled for a 47-yard field goal, which it's a long way in college. I mean, I don't care. Even in the NFL, you see guys miss them from that distance, pretty regularly. So there's a lot to learn from that performance. CUSA West is still pretty wide open. I think Rice still has there's plenty out there for them, obviously. But it was a tough way to lose in the opener.
Taylor, a couple of there was some interesting games last week. Penn State loses to Indiana. At that play at the end, I guess you can't overturn it. What were your thoughts on that, on the two-point conversion for Indiana? Do you think he got in?
No, he didn't. And that ball hits the turf first, and it doesn't break the plane. Really happy for Indiana. I think that's a huge win for that program. But you go back and watch it, and I think they just got it wrong. But Penn State really shut down Indiana's offense for most of the game. I think Penn State still has, there's obviously quite a bit of talent on that team, but the call there at the end, I think, was missed.
Houston hosting Central Florida this week. I don't think this is the same Central Florida team that's been eating everyone's souls in the AAC. I still don't quite know what Houston is. What do you think about that game?
Well, Central Florida, this was probably a month ago now. I had them as a real dark horse to get into the college football playoff. I thought the Big 12 looked terrible, and Dylan Gabriel in that offense, I felt like had an outside shot at it. And now you fast forward a few weeks, they've got a couple conference losses. There's some glaring holes in that defense especially. And now the pride of the American has come down to really Cincinnati. And you saw what they did to SMU last week. For Houston, I think this is there's still quite a bit for them to play for. And this is a game that I would expect Houston to win. Love what Dana Holgorsen has working with that team right now. And I think there's a lot to be excited for if you're a huge Cougar fan right now.
Texas A&M 3-1, but they're -6 in point differential. They don't feel like they are very good. The Vanderbilt game week 1, super concerning. The win over Florida, I guess, is good, although I guess it depends on what you think of Florida. And they didn't look relatively great against Mississippi State. So it's like, well, should we get excited about them? But then you look at the rest of their schedule, and A&M's schedule is just wide open now. I mean, Tennessee is obviously not what people thought they were going to be. LSU and Auburn are both down. I mean, is A&M at this point possibly, I mean, or could they potentially be playing to have a one-loss season here?
They absolutely are. And what's really crazy about their schedule right now, if Arkansas gets the call against Auburn that should have gone their way on that spike that was actually a fumble, it went backwards, that should have been a win for Arkansas. Arkansas should be 3-1 and would be ranked. And you can really make a case through the rest of A&M's schedule that Arkansas is the best team they have left to play, which is insane. I think LSU poses a threat. They're playing a little bit better. Their win last week, they look like they finally got a sense of urgency back. And Auburn still has enough pieces that if they can get any sort of consistency, playing on the road at Auburn, it's never easy, even in this down year for them. But for A&M fans, I think it's hard not to get your hopes up right now. They've got one loss. They had I get that Florida can't stop anybody, but that was still an important win for that team. That was the biggest win, I would argue, that Kellen Mond has had. He played well in a big game when they needed him. And now you look at the rest of the schedule, and like you said, there's nobody that jumps out. They're favored in every game through the rest of the season. So I think there's cause to be optimistic if you're an A&M fan, but this also feels like just sort of a classic A&M build you up to let you down against like a Tennessee on the road where you say, how did we lose to a team like that?
Well, yeah, and they're 8th in the country. So theoretically, if they went out, they could be at the back end of the playoff conversation.
And especially if the Big 12 continues their circus and Texas goes up and beats Oklahoma State and you end up in some sort of a 2-loss Big 12 scenario where the Big 12 looks weak, there is a real case to be made. You could see a Clemson, Ohio State, undefeated Alabama, and then a one-loss A&M sneaks in, or Alabama slips up and there's 2 1-loss teams. There's a chance there for A&M still if they run the table, especially with we have no idea what to expect out of the Pac-12, but they benefit from the Big 12 not being very strong this year.
But having seen what we've seen of A&M at the same time, does it feel to you like this is the kind of team, if they somehow end up there, that they could compete? Because they just don't have that feel to me.
No, and I think it's, unfortunately for college football just in general, this feels like another Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and then everybody else. Like, there is a significant drop-off from spot number 3, really should be down to, like, number 10. I mean, it feels like 4 through 8 or 9, those spots should just be empty almost, because there's just a clear difference right now in talent and scheme, where these teams, those 3 teams that I just mentioned, it's not only the players that they have on their rosters, but they just look more efficient. They play a little more angry. They got a little bit of a bite to them. And as a fan, you want some teams to step up and challenge them. But I really do think it's going to be the usual suspects again, you know, barring something crazy out of maybe a Notre Dame and Clemson. But I'm not sure through that opening week, who's going to challenge Ohio State out of the Big Ten? Maybe it's Michigan, but I still give the nod to Ohio State unless proven otherwise.
Texas on the road at Oklahoma State. You know, I think there's a lot of people who look at Oklahoma State's record, but don't believe that that's what they are. And it looks like Texas has a pretty solid quarterback advantage, at least right now. What do you think of that matchup, and how big would that win be for Tom Herman and for the Texas program?
Well, and this will sound a little bit cliche, but I think it's true. The rest of these games, and including the win last week, these are all must wins for Texas. There are no, you have got to win out, have really to salvage the season. A three loss team out of this Big 12 is a disappointment. And I agree with you in the narrative that we just don't know yet from Oklahoma State. If they win this game, they move to 5-0. I think you can start that conversation about, okay, maybe this is a team that's figuring out ways to win and is going to represent the Big 12 potentially in the college football playoff if they go undefeated. For Texas, the win over Baylor, slow start, not very, it just still felt a little bit underwhelming. But when you watch, I mean, that Baylor team did not look very good. They had some, they've got some holes in that secondary. They blew several coverages. They're asking, Texas is asking Sam Ehlinger to do a lot, and he got, that was about as physical as you'd want your quarterback to ever be in the run game this past week. But it's, again, it really is a must win, and they're all going to be must wins down the stretch. They still have to play Iowa State and close out the year against a ranked Kansas State team. So plenty of opportunities for Texas to slip up, but was nice for them to get a little bit of momentum back, and they're going to need to carry that forward again against Oklahoma State.
Does the drama that's surrounding Texas right now, and you know, people starting to discuss, well, who's going to be the next coach, things like that. You see today that the number one quarterback in the 2022 class decommits from Texas. I mean, it's kind of a killer for Texas when people are talking about who's going to be the next coach when you've got guys who are expecting to go play for Tom Herman, whatever you think of him. And now they're being run off because it sounds like he might not be around when that kid's ready to play.
Yeah, a couple things there. Number one, I still think it's way too soon. Maybe a year too soon. Tom Herman still has not been enough time. I am not a fan of running coaches out every 3 years. You're going to stay in the same cycle. If you think back to when he was hired, they got the big shiny toy that they were excited about. And I get that the wind has been taken out of their sails, but a $20 million buyout for Herman right now is not going to solve all your problems. On the flip side of this, if I actually had a buddy ask me, okay, you're a five-star quarterback and you had to pick between Texas or A&M right now, where would you go? I said A&M. I would go play for Jimbo. I think that program is, the trajectory there feels more in line with what you would expect for a five-star as opposed to Texas. I don't blame Quinn for decommitting. I get it. And so there are some problems, obviously, right now in Austin. But I will say winning fixes almost everything. And if they run the table and somehow sneak into the Big 12 championship and they have a two-loss season, all of a sudden a lot of your problems start to go away.
Speaking of teams that had problems early, Oklahoma, does it look to you like they've kind of figured things out? When they came back and beat Texas, and then, you know, last week I thought they looked as good as they have all season. You think this team's finally figured it out?
Well, Spencer Rattler's a fantastic player. I think when he got pulled from the Texas game, I think that was the way that he came back, you could tell they got his attention. He was trying to be Superman. He wasn't going through his progressions. He was forcing the ball. And then he came back, and it looked like he had just simplified it in his mind and said, take what the defense gives him, make plays with his feet when they're there. They go out, they beat TCU handily, which they needed to do. And now moving forward, they've got back-to-back weeks. They go on the road to Tech and then host Kansas, and they should win both of those games pretty easily. Then they've got the big one against Oklahoma State. They have 2 weeks coming up to continue to build that momentum. I think they got through the early season growing pains, really, with Spencer Rattler. And I would imagine Lincoln Riley's going to have them rolling. I trust Lincoln Riley. And would not be surprised if they run the table now.
So you'll be on the Rice Southern Miss call this week?
I will not be this week. That one's on the road. I've got next week hosting UTSA, which I think is actually going to be a really intriguing matchup. And then I've got their last home game scheduled right now after Thanksgiving. But, you know, again, it was a heartbreaking loss. But there's a lot of production that came back, and they had some good performances out of Blaze Aldridge and Austin Trammell. Excited that they're out there playing. I still think there's a bunch of wins on their schedule.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it with all the stops and starts, and you finally play your first game, you can't expect them to be perfect week one. But yeah, hopefully they'll have a good season, and you'll have some good games to call coming up.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was fun to be back out there, and I will tell you, for a school like Rice, I commend the Joe Carlgaard, the athletic director, and the university for sticking after it, because it could have been the easier decision at a place like Rice would have been to just fold it up and say, we're not playing this year. So kudos to them for getting out there, doing it safely, getting their questions answered, and getting these kids out on the field. So kudos again to them.
All right, that's Taylor McCarg. You can follow him at TMcCarg16. Joins us every Thursday, 6 o'clock, for college football. Taylor, appreciate the time as always, man. Look forward to talking to you next week.
I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good weekend.
You too, man.
All right. Let's go to break. I still have to do a gym of the day. I still have my non-pedo positive Rona update.
It's a busy day.
Also got some college football picks to go ahead and give out.
All right.
So we've only got 3 segments left to do all that,
oh,
AJ.
Boy.
We better get on our horse. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman. It's fall and we could all use a little awesome. Well, our friends at Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal Box of Awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. Who wouldn't want awesome stuff sent to them every month, right? It's like Christmas on your doorstep. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips, no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them to pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Saturday Showtime Pay-Per-View featuring Gervonta Tank Davis fighting Leo Santa Cruz. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. You guys should be ready to go in college football after the last few segments. I do have a few games that I'm looking at that I will bounce off you. I think I'm with you on Michigan minus 24.5 against Michigan State.
I'm still not convinced I'm pulling the trigger on it.
I'm hoping it gets to 24. I'd like to get that half off of there just because I hate the halves on key numbers. But I'm looking at that. I actually may go oppo of Brad. I still like Coastal Carolina. Cincinnati minus 7. Definitely punching a ticket on that. And I also think I think that's pretty much it. There was one other game I think I might bet TCU minus 2.5 against Baylor, but I'm not sure on that one. So that's where I am.
I think I like the over in the Memphis Cincinnati game. I don't hate your side of it either, but I think I'm going to be on the over there. I'm still kicking around a lot of college stuff. I think I like West Virginia against Kansas State, and I think I also like Troy against Arkansas State, which is Troy's a really good passing team. Arkansas State's near the back in passing, and Troy's a top, at least non, or I guess a group of five pass defense. So I feel like Troy's going to be able to get some distance on him. That'll depend on weather, but I'll probably be on Troy.
All right. Well,
I wanted to bet Colorado State tonight, but I backed out of it. Yeah. I kind of liked that, you know, I saw Fresno get beat up on the ground, and then Colorado State, like, you can say what you want about Adazio, but he was – one thing he did at Boston College was he ran a lot of 12 personnel, and he ran the ball a lot. And another thing that he did is when he transferred to Colorado State, he brought several Boston College offensive linemen with him.
Yeah.
Which you, and I know Boston College, well, what are they? But
they got some big white dudes.
In the Mountain West, Boston College offensive linemen are probably, you know, cream of the crop type guys.
Agreed.
So I'll you know what? I've talked myself into that. I'm pushing a little ticket on Colorado State tonight.
The other one I'm looking at is Air Force plus 14.5 against Boise. I think this could be a classic look ahead game for Boise. They got BYU coming up. And I think Air Force can stay in the number, but I haven't hit it yet. But that's the other game I'm just not sure about. But the one I am sure about, I've already punched a ticket on Cincinnati. So that's the one I've already bet. All right. You know what? Let's do the non-pedo positive Rona update of the day. Like with music.
Boom. Positive. Non-pedo, Corona update of the day.
All right. Okay, never mind. Poor Aaron's in there punching stuff. I don't know what's going on. He's got his hands on his head. He's doing, what is wrong in here? What
positive.
Is wrong?
There it is. Non-pedo, Corona update of the day.
That really sounds like a song from Rick and Morty is what it sounds like. Okay, so here are five key factors on the TMC takeaways for yesterday. The effective reproduction rate is 1.16. That's down a little bit from the day before. Still above 1, which is not good because it was 1.06 for the area last week. 1 means it's spreading. We need to get under 1. The current 7-day average positivity rate, 4.4%. Last week it was 4.2%. So, not a huge update. But here's the positives. Ready? Only 422 new cases yesterday.
Okay.
Again, I think any day we do under 500 is a good day. Didn't have to use our AK.
Okay.
So, I'm going to say that's the positive news. 126 new patients admitted yesterday compared to 92 last week. So, that's up a little. And the ICU is 93% full, which it was 89% for most of the week last week. So a lot of, numbers going up, but not severely. And we had the positive news of only 422 new people yesterday. So there you have it. That's your positive Rona update.
That's positive.
Yeah, I feel good about it. I mean, to me, that's the main number I look at is it when that number starts going up again, that's when that's when things were really awful back in June and all that. We're getting 2,500 new cases a day and stuff like that. So, yeah. All right. And I'll save the gem of the day for the next segment. But I got a pretty good gem. So, you were talking about you're still focused on NFL. I mean, we'll go through all those tomorrow. Is there anything that's jumping out at you, like right now, that people should be looking to bet?
I'm a sucker. I like the Ravens. I think the Ravens smashed the Steelers. I was high on the Steelers last week, and I'm fading them this week. Ravens coming off a bye. I think Pittsburgh's gonna have a hard time getting some offensive success going in that game. And I'm trying to think what else is like a slam dunk to me. I don't think there's anything that I'm like, you know, jumping up and down about, but there's a lot of wind projected this weekend.
Yeah.
It might, and like, I'm talking like in the 20, 22 mile an hour range to the, that's when I start looking at unders. And obviously I'm not the only one in the world doing that. So those numbers will come crashing down. But in some cases, like the Bills Patriots, I wouldn't expect that to be a high scoring game anyway. That number's gone from 45.5 down to 41.5. It's pretty big drop. The Vikings Packers has gone from 56 down to 51. What I do say is when that happens, one of the things you may want to consider is all of a sudden, the Vikings being a 6.5-point, 7-point dog in a 51-point game, that's a lot more valuable than it is in a 56-point right. game. The Patriots being plus 3.5 or plus 4, whatever you can get them at right now, in a 41.5-point game versus a 45.5-point game, the dog is more valuable there. One other game, I'm not sure what the weather is. I think it's going to be windy there too, but I like the under in the Bears Saints game. The Saints on offense, it's a one man show. It's Alvin Kamara, and what can he do with no Michael Thomas? And you obviously can't trust the Bears to score anything. I probably think the Saints cover that. In fact, they may shut out the Bears at home. And then there's a couple games that I want to bet, but I haven't found the guts to do it yet. The Eagles shouldn't be 9-point favorites over any football team.
No, they shouldn't. But
that would require me to bet on the Dallas Cowboys, and I've done it a couple times, and obviously since they're 0-7 against the spread, hasn't worked out. I'll probably have some Chargers in my portfolio this weekend. And then the one other game that I like the Lions getting points against the Colts. They're at 2.5 now. I'm going to find a way to tease them to get up to 8.5. The Raiders may be my other side of that. They're at 2.5 at the Browns. But the thing that concerns me about the Browns is I always say when you get pressure on Baker, he sucks. Well, the Raiders don't really bring a lot of pressure. So there's some good games this weekend, but I don't see like value jumping off the page at me very often here.
There's a couple things. I don't mind your Ravens play. The only thing I would say is this Ravens offense isn't what it was last year. Steelers play really good defense, but I think between the two, I would trust Jackson to take care of the ball better than Roethlisberger, and I think that'll be the difference. I'd like to see 3 and not 3.5.
Yeah.
But I'm on the other side of you on the Bears-Saints game. I'm taking the Bears plus 4.5. I agree the under is probably the play. Saints outside in weather, never a good bet. And I don't think the Bears are as awful as they looked on Monday night. So
I think offensively they are.
Guess who's not
practiced yet this week? The one good player they have on offense, Allen Robinson.
Yeah, but the Saints defense isn't all that this year either. So I think I feel actually pretty good about that one. I think it's going to come down to a field goal. But I can't take the Saints to cover 4.5 right now. And that's it. That's all I've got so far. I did like I am looking at – what's the other game? I think that's it for now. But I'm probably going to bet the Bears.
All right.
Even though they burned me Monday night. But, yeah. All right. What do I have? Oh, yeah, Lightstream. Guys, I got to tell you about Lightstream. And maybe your credit card balances are getting up there. Maybe during the Rona here you've had to spend too much. Well, you know what? How about turn those balances into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate and start saving money? Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. The rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. The application is 100% online. You don't even have to leave your house to apply. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. You can even get your funds as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Right now, the Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Fred. Lightstream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
She look like she go. She do. Hometown hero, feeling myself, can't murder my ego. She heard my deep stroke, she said, babe.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Saturday Showtime Pay-Per-View featuring Gervonta Tank Davis fighting Leo Santa Cruz. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I have totally been rocking those guys lately at home. I'll just like do the Alexa play this thing, and they got some fun music. All right. Telling you, man, got some Ronnie James Dio in it. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. I have three animal-related potential gems for you guys to choose the one you like the best. I've got swordfishes deciding to go to war with sharks and stabbing them. I have a Bronx man getting trapped in a sinkhole with a bunch of rats. Or I have a Florida man and a story about a leopard where he was asking for it.
Okay, let's do that one.
Yeah, I figured you'd like that one, but the other two were kind of entertaining too. So a Florida man basically paid, the guy had owned a black leopard, and he paid the cat's owner $150 for a full contact experience with the rare animal. 50-year-old Dwight Turner, God, 50-year-old Florida man, paid the owner $150 to play with it, rub its belly, and take pictures. So, because he found the information on a Facebook page where the owner claims
that bitch Carol Baskin needs to come shut this down.
Yeah, exactly. But he claims to run an animal sanctuary for rare and endangered animals. And what did we learn from Tiger King? Anybody that messes with big cats is a loon, right?
Yeah.
But a black leopard was included. They're incredibly rare. And basically, what do you think happened the minute he walked in and tried to pet the thing on the stomach?
Not wise, guys.
It bit his face.
The leopard beat his ass.
Yeah.
The injuries to Turner were so severe, the victim's scalp was hanging from his head, and his right ear was torn in half.
Oh.
He's had several surgeries to repair the damage. And I just got to say, you're paying $150 to get your head ripped off?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a great value.
That's a little masochistic for me.
Yeah.
Well,
got to learn somehow.
You know
right?
What? Once again, I'm team black leopard here. apparently, he's licensed to have the animal, but allowing people and paying people to go in there with him is illegal. He was charged with allowing full contact with an extremely dangerous animal and was cited for maintaining captive wildlife in an unsafe condition. Okay, first off, how drunk do you have to be? He's like, hey, look at this Facebook thing with this leopard. I want to go pay to pet it.
Or you just got to be Florida, man.
That's true. You don't have to be drunk. You just have to be from Florida. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So there you go. 832, Johnny G already did this. I don't care. I don't listen to his show.
Let's clear everything with the morning guys.
Yeah.
So when they talk about the Texans on Monday or a week from Monday, we won't be allowed to. Jeez, Johnny G.
I love it. So like you sit around all day and wait for somebody else to do a story that somebody else did, which, by the way, we all get the same show prep. And you already did it.
Somebody better go tell Creighton and Braddock they can't talk Rockets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, I can't
they
do that.
They can't talk Texans today.
Don't start talking about Thursday Night Football.
No, you can't do that. Somebody else says, we not learn from Tiger King. Yeah, to me, if you watch that and you still want to go pet a leopard, okay, we'll miss you. Anything you need to get to here? Because we're almost out of time.
I know. I've got a whole bunch of stuff to get to next segment.
Okay. Well, because you have Hoffman on Hollywood.
I do. Very thrilling things going on in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Some Kardashian news we've got. You know, well, I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Well, you're just teasing.
I like to say ruined now instead of ruined.
So the other one is apparently a guy in New York was swallowed by a sinkhole, which sounds horrible, and it was full of massive rats because, of course, rats in New York.
Yeah.
And he was afraid to scream because he thought the rat would get in his mouth.
Oh.
So that was one. He says, during his descent, debris was falling and hitting him in the head. When he finally landed, he found that he was not alone. He was like, man, the rats down there were ridiculous. They were so big, he was scared to yell out because they thought they were going to go in his mouth.
Can you imagine if a rat went in your mouth?
Ugh.
That would be the worst.
Yeah. Had worse things.
Really?
No.
I've got a story that'll interest you.
Yes.
What about this? What about a man from Minnesota who's had a couple DUI arrests? And when I say a couple, what I really mean is 28.
Oh, geez.
And just recently got out on September 28th, and he was placed on supervised release. So, you know, you've been in and out 28 different times for DUI. So now today is October. Well, yesterday was October 28th. He died. Do you want to guess how he died?
Alcohol poisoning?
Natural causes.
Oh, darn. Well.
Well, here's my question. It says the guy's name is Danny Lee Betcher. He had a valid driver's license despite spending much of the past 10 years in and out of jails and prison for drinking and driving. How do you still have a license after 28 DUIs?
I have a friend who got, in Minnesota in particular, got two DWIs, and he could not go back to Minnesota. I don't want to say what he does for a living, but it involves flying airplanes. And... sorry, he's not in the city right now. But, yeah, he couldn't fly through Minnesota because they wouldn't – because two DWIs.
Look who's on the phone, Fred. The morning guy that we're stealing all his stuff from,
yeah.
John Granato,
yeah,
is on the phone.
I'm just going to have to just start recording the show and stealing every story.
Hello, John.
Hey, guys. I just want you to know I already did that story. Bye.
Damn it.
Well, you know what, John? We did it better. We had music with it. We set it up nicely. I haven't heard your version. But, you know, it's like being a cover band, right? You covered a song. We did it, but, you know, we're a little better.
We need to find, during the break, we need to find one story about the Texans or Rockets that broke since they went off the air this morning and then mention it and then call in and do the same thing to them tomorrow.
But I highly recommend everybody who listens to this show listens to those guys in the morning. Not just because they're going to have the story first, but because they do a good job, all kidding aside. Not as good as us, but pretty damn good. All right, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. We'll have a little Hoffman on Hollywood. Can you double-check and make sure none of the stories
I
have?
I can't. We're just going to have to play it by ear.
All righty. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, guys, we were just talking about the election. Guess where you can bet it? MyBookie.ag. And there's plenty of things on there right now. You got the college game going. If you didn't get down on the game in time and you want to play it, they've got live betting going on. You got the same thing with the NFL. You want to get in on any of the bets that we talked about last segment? Well, they're all on MyBookie. And when you win on MyBookie, you get paid. And the great thing about them, easy deposits and withdrawals. That's not the case with a lot of these websites. You've got tons of options, parlays, live betting, all of it. It's there for you. And if you join today, they're going to match your first deposit 100%. Just enter promo code radio when signing up. That's promo code radio to get that first deposit matched 100%. And if you're already on MyBookie, there's all kinds of opportunities there. You'll get offers all the time. Just go check your offers on the website. And they've got lots of opportunities for you to reload and for you to take advantage of all the cool things they have. Just go to MyBookie.ag, promo code radio, MyBookie. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie.
I think I need help. I'm drowning in myself.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Saturday Showtime Pay-Per-View featuring Gervonta Tank Davis fighting Leo Santa Cruz. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. We'll have a little late hits with Creighton and Braddock, and then Hall of Fame with Booker T and Brad. Let's do a little Hoffman on Hollywood.
Let's do it. Let's start with, Let's start with some voting discussion. A survey was done, and they measured the intersection of entertainment, influence, and politics amongst 1,103 voters, 48% male, 52% female, across the United States from October 8th to 13th. They wanted to see who of the celebrities was influential in the decision to vote or who to vote for. Overall, 12% of voters reported that an entertainer or athlete influenced their thinking regarding the election. Influence is higher amongst Black voters, Hispanic, Latino voters, LGBTQ, Gen Z, and millennials. It says down the party line, Democrat voters are more likely to be influenced by athletes or entertainers than Republican voters. Among all voters, 36% that LeBron James has done the most to raise awareness and motivate people regarding voting. Taylor Swift came in second with 13%. Looks like Oprah Winfrey came in with 6%. So, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson was there at 9%. Cardi B, Beyonce, Colin Kaepernick, all getting at least 5%. Kid Rock, a vocal supporter of Trump, who was a guest of the president at the debate, ranked as the most influential voice for Republican voters, snagging 46% of the votes, followed by Ted Nugent, Tom Hanks, and I don't know who that one is. I don't know who this last guy is. So Josh will make fun of the people, like the famous people telling you to vote, but it sounds like a lot of people are influenced by it. And Fred, you've said as much. Kid Rock convinced you to vote for Donald Trump.
Stop.
That didn't happen?
No, but I'm curious where Kid Rock ranks in influence compared to, say, like where he would rank on a Democrat list.
I think pretty far down.
Yeah, that's...
Spotify, who has Joe Rogan, is under a lot of heat.
I was going to get to this today.
I think John
already did it, though.
He probably did. Joe Rogan came out. Joe Rogan did an interview with Alex Jones. It pissed off a lot of people, and I think they've pulled it. They've basically pulled it from the site.
It's the fourth time they've had him on there. He's had Alex Jones on.
And Joe said, listen, I know when I have Alex on, he's going to say some crazy stuff. But what I do is I fact check everything that he says, and while yes, he said a lot of crazy stuff, it's all true.
Or opinionated.
The frogs are gay.
Yeah.
So the frogs are gay.
I don't know if that was said on this particular episode.
Okay. My superpower is being honest. I'll eat your ass.
That's right.
I will.
That's also a fact.
But. Yeah, Joe Rogan obviously under a lot of heat, and now people are pushing Spotify to dump him, which imagine Spotify gives that dude all that money and then he gets like five episodes and they're like, all right, we're out of this business. I haven't heard the episode, so I can't get too deep into it, but there's people saying it was transphobic. There's people saying that it's fear-mongering about vaccinations. So if you're interested in that, there's a very controversial episode floating around the interwebs.
I thought that they kept it up because I saw a story where they were defending keeping it up.
Maybe they kept it up and then they put it down and then they put it back up. I don't know.
They've had issues. So originally when all of his catalog moved to Spotify, they omitted all of the Alex Jones and a couple other ones. And so Joe Rogan fans and even I guess his people were like, that wasn't the deal. The deal is I get to interview who I want. And then Spotify put them up and now their employees were pissed. And what I saw from this episode was... when they uploaded it to Spotify, it was skipping around. It was dropping out. It was there were some quote unquote glitches in the audio.
So I would find it humorous to listen to him interview Alex Jones. Maybe that's wrong of me.
Yeah, it is kind of funny.
Are you familiar with Billy Joe Shaver?
Name sounds familiar.
Country legend. One of the great storytellers of all time. My dad was a big fan. He died this week at 81. My dad was a huge fan. I took him to go see Billy Joe several times. He was missing three fingers from a milling accident. And he was also, he had to do a trial because he shot a man in the face.
Did he shoot him in Reno just to watch him die?
No, this was a guy who brought a knife to a gunfight, and it was ended up being self-defense, but Billy Joe shot this dude in the face and ended up getting off for it. But really interesting storyteller and a country music legend.
What was his biggest hit?
I don't know what it, I don't know that I,
he's Aaron can look that up.
Yeah, like for or live forever. Sorry,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. If it's anything you would have heard. I think it's like you kind of got to be one, it, like it's got to be something that you're into.
So he's like a Grateful Dead kind of guy.
I think kind of like that.
Okay,
a lot of people giving heat to Kim Kardashian who went. I don't know if this is deserved. 40th birthday, she quarantines a bunch of her friends, and they rent out a private island where it's just them. And they're like, that's so irresponsible during COVID times.
Oh, come on.
I'm kind of like, you go to that much trouble, get your groove on, have your party.
Well, I mean, if you're all quarantining together, and that's no different than going to dinner with your friends. And people need to get over this friggin' nothing you can do is, don't get me started.
You think James Harden didn't take a whole bunch of Houston's most out-of-work strippers and take them to a private island on his own right now?
I think that he could.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if that's how he spent the first half of the 3-week offseason.
Paige Jennings was a Wall Street, like a promising Wall Street intern, and she left to go do porno. And she had a bad experience with a guy named Marcus Dupree. And Marcus Dupree is a guy who, I don't know if you remember this, last year a girl named August Ames committed suicide after she filmed with Marcus Dupree. Apparently way too rough, dragging her around, choking her with her panties, jeez, slamming her head down on the table, and the scene didn't even call for it. It brought up a lot of bad memories, and she ended up killing herself. And then this Wall Street intern, Paige Jennings, had a similar situation. So now she's quit porn. And what she's doing is she's trying to revolutionize the industry and get anything like this out of it. So I
don't find any of that at all interesting to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not looking to see hot chicks get beat up. No. That's not hot to me.
No, it's not cool. And is... Mark Wahlberg would say it's definitely not sexy.
Well, I
Boogie Nights.
Where do we stand on the hot chick beating up the dude?
I don't need to see that either.
I'm not looking for violence.
Yeah, I'm not looking for violence. I'm looking for creative sex. That's it.
Yeah. So we'll see if anything comes from that. But Ted Lasso, you said that you enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's a cute show.
Apparently, it's so cute that they haven't even started filming season 2, and it's already been picked up for a third season.
Wow.
So, apparently very successful show, and they are already going to start filming season 2, and whatever happens season 2, season 3 will exist.
Interesting. Aaron actually talked me into watching that show.
Well, there you go.
And, he said it's fun, it's kind of uplifting. You know, there's no heads exploding or Nazi chicks or anything like that, but it's a show you can watch with your kids.
Okay.
So
if they're okay with, well, depending on how old they are.
His kids are old enough. There's nothing that revealing in there.
I was just thinking about the constant F-bombs.
Well, and there's a lot of sex, but it's not really that bad. All right. Well, that's going to wrap things up. Aaron? Good job today. Okay, I have heard this. Hoffman, pretty good job today. Not as good as yesterday when you were bringing in world-class guests.
I can only do what I can do.
But pretty damn good for you. I'm going to give you an A+. Beaumont tomorrow. We will be there. I'm going to try to get there in time for Josh's show. So
I will too.
Have some time to hang around a little bit. Be good to see everybody. So we'll see you tomorrow in Beaumont for the rest of you. Till then, stay Rona free, bitches.
Live forever. I'm going to cross that river. I'm going to catch tomorrow night. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to cross that river. I'm going to catch tomorrow night.
ESPN 97.5.